feel this is a great project within our business that can really make a mark on what we do now and into the future.
Kia ora, I'm Troy, here as Chief Executive, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. Thanks for connecting. If you're new, here's what you can expect. We're going to be talking the tough stuff, the things that keep us middle minds up at night. There are many challenges facing our industry and equally many opinions on how we should tackle them. Stirring the Pot provides a facilitated forum to discuss and challenge these viewpoints. So let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. Today we're talking with Rob Woolner, Managing Director of Vortex Industries Limited. Join us as we touch bases on his leadership in building a strong team and how embracing diversity assists with that. Rob, can you tell us a little bit about Vortex's priorities in terms of diversity and inclusion?
Absolutely. We're at the very beginning of our journey, and we have about 50% of our workforce here in Auckland, Pacifica, and I think it's just recently that we've started on this journey, which might be surprising, but as we go along, it's sort of unearthing more and more learnings, and it's becoming a bigger and bigger piece for what we're trying to achieve.
And what are you finding in terms of that journey? Like, what are the first steps that you've identified that the organisation needs to take?
Well, sort of going back a little bit, I guess for me, where this sort of dawned on me was, I was given a book actually, Wayfaring Leadership, which when I read, it sort of really sort of grounded a lot of the opportunity that we have with our Pacifica community and the fact that we really weren't tapping into that. So, you know, over half our workforce being Pacifica, we've sort of come down that traditional route. We were founded by engineers. We've come with an engineering mindset, I guess. And so we've followed that typical corporate mindset around values. And I think we've sort of struggled for those values to resonate. So reading that book and sort of hearing, I guess, looking at that values and vision piece through a different lens was really meaningful for me, especially because we've got that asset and that resource there, especially that piece around sort of lashing your waka to your vision, you know, and up and down over the ocean, you're maintaining that vision and not letting go of it. So it, for me, it really showed how we viewed our business, especially from a culture perspective, potentially through a different lens, which I think really opened up the dialogue and the conversation for us to start tapping into that. Because we've had very traditional values, ones that, you know, in the past our CEO has, I'm sure, Googled what values should we have, you know, and those values are very corporate and very traditional. And so no wonder, I guess, they haven't really resonated right across our workforce. So that's where it landed for me. That was the beginning of the journey. Why don't we try and at least tap into our Pacifica community and really try and unearth some values that are meaningful for our business? And through that, the hope is that we get more buy-in and we actually can create a nice piece of work out of it that really lands within our business. So that's where it started. And I thought it would be quite an easy piece. I thought, look, we can just almost translate our values and it would be quite quick and easy. And it turns out it's not.
No. And I would imagine that with such a high proportion of Pacific peoples in your workforce, that they would have been really crying out to have a cultural change that, you know, suited them and had, you know, took into consideration a different perspective as well. Such an opportunity.
Definitely. And as I say, we haven't yet been able to sort of really come up with and embed any Pacifica values yet. But I guess our workforce is quite split within a manufacturing business. We have production staff and we have the admin side of the business. And we've always had a slight disconnect there, I think, both through location of where people work and also that cross-discipline piece. So we were seeing a lot of that culture already going on within, even within shifts. So we'd have a lot of shifts would start with a prayer, or there was a lot of that cultural piece already embedded in their day-to-day work life. I guess the realization was potentially the admin side, myself included, didn't really realize that. And even some special events that we've had, our 50th celebration, Pacifica Group performed, which was amazing. So a lot of it was right there. And I guess that for me, almost felt a little bit embarrassed around that, you know, the fact that we hadn't opened up to that, realized that it's there. So that's really started this journey for us. And there's certainly some challenges with it, and it's not as quick and easy as what I thought it would be. But that's also been an awesome learning for me as well. And I think this journey is going to be a long journey, and I hope it's a sort of a legacy project for our business.
Mm-hmm. And that book, Wayfinding Leadership, is a really great book. How has that also inspired you in terms of the way that you would amend or adapt your leadership style?
I think it's realizing that, you know, within New Zealand, there's certainly a Māori element that we have, and that's incredibly important as well. But I think the Pacifica piece too, and that's what I found that book so good, because it sort of merged a lot of that together, and it was sort of a more of a blanket approach to sort of Pacifica, Māori included, just that different cultural perspective. So I think, I honestly think our values and our vision, et cetera, won't change much, but I think it will have a really unique, more encompassing lens through that Pacifica lens. So I think that's what it made me realize, that you can look at something through a different lens and it's completely different to what you were thinking, but it's actually still quite the same.
Yeah, yeah. That overlap and that interface is actually very workable, even though you can come from two very different perspectives. Being able to gel them together is so important and actually surprisingly easy. In terms of the workforce, their engagement in this process, what kind of empowerment do they have in terms of contributing to the implementation or the creation of a new approach?
I certainly wanted to be all inclusive. We actually engaged Deloitte. They've got a great Pacifica program there. We engaged some help from them just to understand what they'd done and how they'd been so successful. And it was quite evident that it couldn't be me leading this project, which I fully understand and are fully supportive of. So we really need to find those leaders within our business, within that Pacifica community, and really empower them to drive this project. But that in itself has some challenges too. And from this piece also, I think it's a great chance for us to address some other issues, I think, or other topical pieces in and around progression within roles, leadership within that workforce. And so it's, as I say, we're at the start of our journey, and it's turning into quite a big, really interesting, I think really valuable piece for us.
Mm. Have you been able to identify already some aspects of that you can see are going to have really significant benefits or advantages for the business and for workforce engagement?
Absolutely. And it's interesting, again, the perspective we've got, sometimes three generations of Pacifica that have worked through our production facility. And that was something I think we were quite proud of, until someone challenged that thinking by saying, but have they progressed through your business? And that's a really interesting piece, and sort of made us stop and think a little bit. And so this emerging leadership piece, I think, is going to be a really great piece for us. But again, it's not that easy to implement. And I think on the admin side, would have 20 or 30 people put their hands up for an emerging leaders program, because it's, I guess, so well established as a pathway, and that's sort of what people on that side of the business tend to look for and want to do. On the production side, again, it's tapping into the workforce there and, I guess, making it approachable for them. They're not always ones to put their hand up and possibly feel like they're the ones that would be on that journey. So for us, it's really trying to tap into what that emerging leadership group is within that side of the business, and then really empowering them and giving them opportunity and encouraging them to take part in this piece. So that's certainly been a challenge and something that we're working on.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the non-Pacific leadership within the business, what kind of training or development is needed to create more of that cultural awareness and cultural competency and creation of cultural safety?
I think it's advocacy, and I think it's, people are surrounded by it every day, And I think it's making it approachable for them and making them aware of it. I think that even for me, just that awareness piece of realizing that all this is going on there, and it's quite a powerful piece when you actually tap into it. So I think it's, for us, it's going to be storytelling. It's going to be hopefully sort of redefining all that we do with a Pacifica angle as well as that traditional angle that we've got, and sort of merging them together. And for us, we've certainly found with our culture and our values trying to bring staff together, and we've got quite a big wellness program within Ortex that allows for that to happen. So everyone has lunch together in a catered kitchen, and people work out together in a boot camp style. So there's a lot of engagement going on, but I guess it's trying to weave this together into that.
And have you, in terms of your personal experience, like, has this been something that has been exhilarating, daunting? What is the personal experience of this process for you as the chief executive?
I think all of the above. Again, the learning piece has been amazing. I think it is daunting as well, because again, you feel a little bit as an imposter sometimes. You know, I don't truly understand in any great depth a lot of that cultural piece, and it's something I'm really interested in. So I guess it's trying to lead it without leading it. So it's trying to empower others to take this on and see the value in it and the relevance in it. And we're starting to make some inroads there.
Yeah, I think it would be really interesting at some point too to have one of your Pacific leaders come in and give their perspective and see how they're experiencing it from the other side. I think this is a really exciting process that you're going through, because obviously in manufacturing, there are, you know, that's a main employer for Pacific people. And as you're saying, oftentimes they aren't progressing career-wise into the higher leadership levels of management. And so while we can think, okay, manufacturing is, you know, great in terms of diversity, how great is it in terms of inclusion support? And also, how is it honoring the, the responsibility and opportunity that's presented by having such a large proportion of non-Pākehā represented in the workforce? What does that actually bring in terms of how we can do things differently, how we can reflect different perspectives in the way that we actually do day-to-day business? What would you say to other organizations that are kind of in a similar situation where they may have a large proportion of Pacific peoples in their workforce but have not really considered how that translates into a opportunity for cultural safety and also cultural contribution? What would you say for them if they, you know, just at the very early stages contemplating, okay, I recognize we've got something here that we can do better. What would you say for the first steps?
I think just like with starting a business, right, you got to start. Just start is great, and then continue. And the learning that you get, I think, along the way, it tends to sort of keep building and building. But I think you've got to be in it for the right reasons. There's got to be an authenticity piece to it. You've got to be, I think, quite quickly people can see if you're trying to tick a box or if you're actually interested. And that's something that we're still working on too, right? I feel we've got a lot to prove from a leadership team that we are invested in this and we are taking it seriously and really want some great outcomes from it. I think that's really important. Some of the learnings already even, and as you say, it'd be great to bring someone in at that point where we can, but already sort of some conversations that I've had. There's also, there's a piece one of our managers mentioned where within that Pacifica community, depending on your surname and titles and I guess status within the community, does that come into the workforce and what sort of impact does that play? And I know this person in particular was saying he really wants it left at the door, you know, in the workplaces, an equal footing for for all staff and you don't bring that community piece in. So again, that's something I hadn't considered, but seems like it's quite an important piece too. And we're also looking at how we bridge the gap between some older staff and some younger staff, and they've identified that as a real challenge for them, that next generation coming through, potentially a different work ethic, maybe value different things. So there's a slight disconnect there. That's something that we're hoping to address through this. It's quite a common language, I think, hopefully, this cultural piece that we can bring forward and talk about and acknowledge, and then hopefully really drive some great change within our business.
Mm. And also, how are you, taking into consideration that Pacific people aren't just like one homogenous cultural group? They're very distinct cultures that have found a commonality but are also very distinct. How do you take that into consideration? The same, you know, where Māori is saying, don't think of us as Māori, like we're different. You can't talk, we don't even speak the same language. How do you take that into consideration?
It's an interesting point, and of our 50% Pacifica, probably 90% are Samoan. So we do have a dominant culture within that. So it is quite easy to get tied up just in that singular, Pacifica culture. So that's a piece we need to consider, I think. But this has also widened our eyes to sort of the diversity that we have within the workplace. Like it's a piece that we want to look at around finding out exactly what the makeup of our business is. You know, we've never looked at that before, but there's so many different nationalities and ethnicities and culture that exists within our business. As I keep saying, this journey just keeps evolving and keeps getting bigger and bigger. So at the moment, I absolutely believe in it and really trying to drive it and inspire others to get on board. And that, even that piece in itself, we're all busy, we've all got things going on. That's a piece that's a slow burner as well, that slowly we're bringing people on board and it's hopefully starting to gain some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
But massive piece of work still to do.
Yeah. And how do you manage, obviously, in those kind of cultural changes, from an organizational culture, when you've had a very maybe potentially even old-fashioned approach, how do you create that change with, you know, there might be a bit of kind of latent concern around what does that mean? What's going to happen if we jump into something completely different to how we've always done things? How have you managed, some of the potential cynicism around what's going on and what is that going to mean?
I think we're lucky in terms of the owner of our business. There's always been huge respect between that cultural side of the business and our owner. So there's always been that, I guess, care and that wellness program that we're driving and, again, trying to address pay gap and all these things. There's been a huge element of that. So it's been going on probably for the life of the business, but I guess it's trying to make it a little bit more official and bring it forward, I suppose. We haven't had a lot of pushback. And again, it's early on and it's a project that I'm really driving. So there's not been huge collaboration, I guess, across the high level senior team at this stage, but as we get runs on the board, I feel it won't be a problem within our business getting some support in and around that. But I can certainly understand within some other businesses or some other generations, that's a real challenge. So we're lucky in that respect. And I think that's why this opportunity is so huge for us.
Yeah. And you mentioned the support that Deloitte's is providing. How important is it to get that additional cultural support?
It's been massive for us. I think as I said at the start of this, I thought it was quite different to what it's ended up being. So they really opened my eyes to that. And just hearing their story and their journey to create a really meaningful program with inside Deloitte. And they've got some real champions within that space. So that was great. I guess probably sped up our process a little bit by just giving some advice and some stories on what they've done and how to approach this. And again, certainly not my area of expertise, something I've not done before. So the intent was there 100%, but it was really just starting to lay out some actions and some tasks that we can do to start bringing this on board.
Mm-hmm. And how has it been received? Well, do you think there is some underlying cynicism around whether this is like a tick the box exercise? How do you portray or, you know, go through that process of having to also create the trust that it is a genuine effort?
I think slowly, and we've tried to bring some key leaders on board early and try and explain the reason behind this and the opportunity. It's really focusing around that opportunity piece. So I think that will continue to grow as long as we can continue to stay on the right path, I think, and really demonstrate that this piece is authentic and you know, it's for the right reasons. So, and again, everyone's so busy, you know, that's not an excuse, but it is something that we all have to deal with. You know, we're busier than we've ever been, so it's trying to find time to bring people off the line or away from their teams to have these conversations. So hopefully over time they'll start to see the impact that this could have and will have. So it's certainly a work in progress.
And just finally, what would you say from a chief executive's perspective, what is the value of this process? What is the inherent reason why this is an important thing to do?
I think for us as a manufacturing business, quite a large business, we've got 180 staff here in Auckland, that culture piece is so important, especially when over the last few years, the challenges that we've all faced in and around COVID and in and around even just recently with the floods, et cetera, it's that piece around community and culture. And culture is such a hard one to tackle at scale, I think. And especially we're 50 years old, so culture has been different throughout those 50 years. So really trying to define culture moving forward and then trying to, shed some of that old culture to allow for some new culture to come on board. So I think people, it's all about people. And so how do we get people working closer together? How do we get people caring for each other? Because you're at work a long time. So you come to work to be with people that you want to be around and we all want to be here for a reason. So it's really trying to define what that reason is and realizing that that reason is different for other people. So how do we create a common vision and a common reason for being there that resonates with everyone? I don't feel all that qualified to be here talking about it, but I think it's, for us, I see it as an opportunity to really go on that journey and talk about it a little bit and hopefully can inspire some other businesses to do the same. And we're not perfect, 100% we're not perfect, and we've got a lot of work still to do, but I feel as though, for me personally, I feel this is a great project within our business that can really make a mark on what we do now and into the future.
So there you go. Thanks for joining our conversation with Rob today. If you'd like to connect more with him, you'll find his details in the show notes. In a world where leadership is crucial in creating an effective team, my conversation with Rob today reminded me that not everyone on a team values the same things. As leaders, we need to be wise enough to discover what they value and what motivates them. If we don't, then we are the one failing, not them. Food for thought till we see you next time. So hit subscribe, and if you liked what you heard today, please like, review, or share with any metal minds you know. Let's spread the word. If this podcast with Rob has showed us anything, it is that adapting and responding to change requires next generation leadership. That's why our upcoming Future Forum conference on the 5th of May 2023 is all about helping our members navigate the change and evolution required to be a next gen led business. Join us in Ototahi, Christchurch, and register today. The link is in the show notes.